Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, and S&S Distributing. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Top of the ninth we go. Kyle West is now up here for the Rockers and the Rafters. Swinging, singing Sweet Caroline. Not a lot to cheer for today. Down 8-2 here on the top of the ninth inning. Hantzovitz, the 0-1. Way downstairs behind Voth. That goes behind him. But there's nobody on base, so stays here at 1-1. A ball and a strike as the Rafters have struggled today, just have not been able to put a couple swing of hits together, as the second strike is true for Hantzovitz, 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Swing and a miss. There's strike three. Got caught West down swinging. One out. JoJo Jackson will step in at the plate, the left-hander. One out. Zero balls and zero strikes. The pitch from Hantzovitz upstairs evens this, well, puts him up in the count 1-0. So one ball, zero strikes with one out. The 1-0 from Hantzovitz popped back up behind home plate, evens this count up at one apiece for a strike. Rafters have just not been putting things together. They have really struggled as the 1-1 from Hantzovitz, a curveball right down the pipe, 1-2. The ball and two strikes with one out. Rafters down 8-2. They've been out hit by the Rockers 12-7. And they've each committed an error. Frustrating night for Rafter fans. Strike three. Got caught swinging. Jackson did. So there's two down, one away here. As Mateo Matthews was the first baseman today. And Matthews, the left-hander, on Hantzovitz, who sets, fires, and foul tipped on the backside once again behind home plate. That's really been the story here tonight. The Rockers have just been able to get a lot of leadoff singles, a lot of leadoff doubles, and questionable pitching from the Rafters. It's been frustrating, as you know, you felt as a Rafter fan that, you know, after last night when they lost 5-4 in extra innings, that they wanted revenge on the Rockers when the Rockers here come to their place. And you know, since then it has just not gone their way, as a ball popped up on the left field side near their Craft River Rat Trap here at Witter Field, a great accessory. Great food, great drinks, and a great time to have fun. Great viewpoint as well of the field. Fans are getting into it, stomping their feet still with two outs. The one ball, two strikes. Here's the 1-2 serve from Mantrovic. Swing and a miss. Got him upstairs. Strike number three, out number three as we head to the bottom of the ninth. Do the Rafters have a rally in them? We're going to find out next.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Bottom of the ninth inning here at Witter Field, and the Rafters down 8-2 to the Green Bay Rockers. Rockers three outs away from sweeping the Rafters. It's quite interesting. The Rafters beat the Rockers 8-4. And last year they won the series, and all four times the Rockers won was here at Witter Field. So something about the Rockers playing here at Witter Field sparks them to having some good baseball. And it's certainly doing that today. Logan Hugo, he's up next for the Rafters out of Essexville, Michigan. And, well, a guy that's struggled but been able to get on base at times. And they're going to need him here today. Eastern Michigan product. Can the Rafters get a rally? The bats have not been flowing. They've had seven hits, but those hits have not really been timely. It's just been, you know, sometimes a couple leadoff singles, but other than that, they just have not been able to finish innings. The Rockers have had other ideas. They've made some great plays in the field, and they've had some exceptional hitting. What really hurt the Rafters was top of the second inning, where they just had guys loaded up on base and just were able to walk some people. Jaden Ranieri did not have a good start. Whereas Hugo fouls one off of his left ankle and has to regather himself. So, can a rally happen for the Rafters? Remind you, in the first game against the Chinooks, they were down 10-1, had four runs in the bottom of the eighth, and bottom of the ninth. Can they put the pressure on here? The 0-1 outside corner, 1-1. Pitching change for Green Bay Rockers. Evan Kleinens out of Columbia University, their freshman from Berkeley, California. Swing and a miss. Strike two, Hugo went after it upstairs, and he got caught swinging on the second strike. So 1-2. After fans just not happy, and Hugo pops one up under the second baseman in Andrew Harris, who makes a routine catch, one down, two away for the Rockers. Rockers looking to go undefeated. So far, they're 3-0. They beat Fond du Lac twice, 12-10 in the first game, where they were up 10-2, and it became 10-10. Fond du Lac tied it up, but Rockers won in extra innings, 12-10. They went back to their place at Capital Credit Union Park, beat Fond du Lac 9-5 as Brent Voth sees a strike across the plate. So they were up 9-5 in the second game. They ended up winning that game, third game, on Wednesday. Voth Swinging a hard hit ground ball over to first, and tapped on the bag is Mateo Matthews for the second out. And then last night, the Raptors had them on their heels, up 4-2 in the top of the 10th. You felt the Raptors were going to come away with a big win in Green Bay, but the Rockers had a 2-1 shot from Andrew Harris and then a walk-off sack fly that sent Tommy Davis home as Sam Schmidt batting in the 9 hole, the right fielder today with 2 outs, 1 ball. Schmidt, the left-hander, the 1-0 from Kleinens, is downstairs, 2-0. So the Raptors just been out hit tonight and outplayed frequently. Frankly, they've been outplayed tonight. 3 balls and 0 strikes with 2 outs. Kleinens out of Columbia University in the Ivy League. All the way from Berkeley, a rising sophomore. The 3-0 across the plate. There's a strike. One out. The 3-1. Way inside. Schmidt sees a ball, and he will take first on the fourth ball. So he gets walked. And we return to the top of the order. Brandon Rogers, the center fielder. Rogers, who's also had a tough day as well, but every time it seems like he's had a tough day hitting, he always finds a way to get on base. He was the first Raptor to cross home plate today. Other than that, Jack Passier drove a ball out to deep left center for a solo home run. So can't something happen here? Sam Schmidt stands off at first. Rogers swinging a miss. Strike one. So 0 balls and a strike. 2 outs. The 0-1. Rogers swinging a hard hit ball over to Kelly, who's not able to field it. That goes off of his glove into shallow right. So Rogers takes first. Schmidt takes second. And the Raptors get something going here. There's 2 outs as Ty Johnson, who's been batting exceptional this season so far for the Raptors, batting a .400 with 5 hits, 3 RBIs, where he acquired a big RBI last night. So Schmidt stands at second, Rogers at first. Raptors need something here. Ty Johnson sees the first pitch from Kleinens across the plate, downstairs, out of the strike zone for a ball. So 1 ball, no strikes, 2 outs. 2 men on for the Raptors. Ty Johnson out of Flower Mound, Texas, as he sees a strike on the inside corner, 1-1. One ball, one strike. 2 outs. Schmidt, a big leadoff at second. The Raptors need ones. Ty Johnson swinging a hard hit ball over to Kelly, who steps on the bag at second, and that will do it. The Rockers sweep the series over the Raptors 8-2 and have out-hit the Raptors 12-8 for the second straight game. Raptors just were not able to get really anything going, as they're going to have short-term memory. They hit the road at the Fond du Lac tomorrow for a 2-game series. They both have their next 2 games in Fond du Lac for a 6:35 pitch scheduled for tomorrow. So final score, Rockers 8, Raptors 2. We thank you for tuning in here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. I'm Joey Fear with you, saying good night, everybody.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, and S&S Distributing. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Our mascot for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball team, Roscoe P. Rafter, welcomed the team's newest Fans for Life on Monday. The larger-than-life mascot visited the Aspirus Riverview family birthplace on the Rafters opening day, May 29th, to present season tickets for life to the babies born that day. The beaming mothers posed for a picture holding little Madeline Georgianne and Eric Emmanuel with their slightly dazed-looking fathers standing nearby. Congratulations to this year's newest Fans for Life and their proud parents. Free courses of Pfizer's Paxlovid treatment for COVID-19 will still be offered for at least another few months, even after the Food and Drug Administration granted Pfizer full approval Thursday to market the medication. The U.S. government has stockpiled millions of doses of Paxlovid. Over 14,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported each week last month, although most U.S. cases are no longer reported to health authorities. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
As she needs, and that's been the same for previous administrations as well. So I think we are at a turning point, and at least here in Michigan, this is a make-or-break moment for revitalizing the union movement here in Michigan.
And the labor movement as a whole. And I'm glad to hear you say that, Jasper, because, you know, the reality is we saw in Virginia, they were able to flip their General Assembly and have the ability to repeal their No Rights at Work mm-hmm. bill and didn't. And, you know, one of the things that's frustrating to me is, you know, Democrats have kind of let that part of mm-hmm. the Democratic Party kind of go mm-hmm. and not talk about labor, not talk mm-hmm. about protecting workers' rights. So I'm happy to hear you're talking about it, that this is one of your priorities mm-hmm. and that there are others in this state, because that would be, you know, I'm waiting for that tide change.
Yeah.
And maybe that could be the beginning of it. Scott Walker back in 2011 was kind of a tide change in moving towards attacking workers. Maybe Michigan can be the way back to the other direction.
I agree. And I think as well, when you talk about we should really be proud of the broad coalition that the Democratic Party is. We have a lot of interests, a lot of stakeholders, a lot of folks that are fighting for good things. But what goes back generations and generations with the Democratic Party is fighting for workers' rights, fighting for a path to the middle class, for the working class, and making sure that we have jobs and economic security. And oftentimes I found when I knock on doors of folks who either grew up as Democrats and drifted away from the party, or who have no interest to begin with, they always associate us with our most extremes. And what I often have to tell them is you can't associate our party with what I call the performatively woke progressives who care more about tweeting than they care about legislating. And those folks can afford to do that because they're in New York or California or wherever else. They're in a D plus 1,000 seat where they're never going to lose re-election. I always look at the folks like my hero Congressman Kildee or Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, who's our neighboring congressional district. Look at the things that they're fighting for. They are still willing to call out institutional racism, combat sexism, and fight for LGBTQ rights at the same time that they're talking about those real kitchen table issues, whether it's investing in infrastructure, investing in education, creating good paying jobs. We can both call out those those problems that have been with our country for centuries since its founding, and try to win over those folks who want to make sure that they're going to have economic security, want to make sure that they have a path to the middle class. So I really think it's a false choice whether we go that route focusing on social issues or focusing on economic issues, because I think when we take that comprehensive approach, and really when the Democratic Party is at its best, is seeing that those kind of two sides that we bracket off are really linked and really one and the same.
I got to tell you, I was sitting here listening to you talking about a presidential candidate one day. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Jasper Martis. Jasper's running for the new 69th Michigan State House District seat. You can check out his website at jaspermartis.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Really good stuff. Now, again, you focused on a whole bunch there. There's a lot to unpack. The big part of it is that division that the Democrats are saddled with. And I fear the Democrats don't fight back enough.
Yes.
And hard enough. You know, we were just talking with Senator Sherrod Brown and Senator Bob Casey, who are, in my view, two of the people who get the message the right way, talking about jobs, talking about kitchen table stuff, about health care. You know, that's where Democrats should be living. All of the other stuff, yeah, you be on the right side of history with, but that shouldn't be what defines you. I've always believed life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You do your thing, but how do we make lives better? And that's where I'm thrilled to hear where your campaign is taking us and where I hope Democrats are going.
Well, and I think I am a huge fan of President Biden. I supported him in the primaries. I think he's been a transformative president. And the biggest critique I actually have of the Biden administration is they don't talk enough about the amazing things that they're accomplishing.
Right?
When you look at the ARPA package, when you look at the infrastructure package, when you look at the Inflation Reduction Act, this is I have two bumper stickers. I have the seal of Michigan, and I have all the way with LBJ bumper stickers. We've not seen this amount of investment in public works since the Great Society in the 1960s. And it may even rival in some ways the New Deal of the 30s and 40s. We're making such progressive strides. And yeah, until recently, a lot of folks just didn't want to talk about it. They were afraid to defend it. They were afraid that they were going to get attacked for it. And I have to say, I'm proud of being a member of a party and supporting a president who is able to accomplish all of these things. And I think that when we look back in history, 15, 20, 25 years down the line, we will talk about this ARPA package and infrastructure package the way that we talk about the Great Society. The problem is we just need to talk about it.
No, and we need to do more. And this is where, you know, I've been, you know, and the conversation I had with Senator Casey the other day, I said, look, you know, why aren't we seeing giant 15-foot statues of, you know, I did this. You know, remember those stupid things they were slapping on gas pumps?
Yeah, I did that.
Joe, I did that. Why aren't we seeing giant 15-foot, you know, statues of Biden going, I did this. As we're reinvesting in infrastructure, building manufacturing plants, as we're making lives better. You know, we went through 4 years of somebody taking credit for something that they didn't do and weren't possibly able to do. The greatest promoter, the greatest, you know, carnival barker in the history of politics, taking credit for stuff that didn't even happen. And now you got a guy doing things and doing great things and, you know, just getting up, doing the work. Gotta get that.
Yeah.
That message.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of the book series, The Years of Lyndon Johnson by Robert Caro. I recommend it to anyone who's interested in politics. It's phenomenally written. And what's great about Caro when he talks about the legacy of Lyndon Johnson is he talks about not just the policies that Johnson pursued, but the people that were impacted by those policies. And he would take you through when Lyndon Johnson was a congressman, you know, people in his rural area of Hill Country, Texas, who for their entire lives had no access to electricity, even after most cities, especially in the north, had already been electrified. And Robert Caro takes you through what it was like to live without electricity, the painstaking effort of making a house work, making a family be able to survive without electricity, and then taking them through that electrification process. No, that's political power.
No, and this is where I get back to. You got to make lives better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Democrats forgot for a while.
Yeah.
They made the lives of some better. Mm-hmm. And this is where you talk to any working class person. Mm-hmm. You know, the Democrats are all about Wall Street, too. Mm-hmm. Democrats got to get back to making lives better. And I'm thrilled to hear the campaign that you're running. Again, I hope folks will check out the website, jaspermartis.com. Mm-hmm. We'll get links out on social media. I can check it out, maybe help out the campaign a little bit.
Appreciate that.
I know I'm going to be hearing a lot from you. I'd love to talk to you again some point down the road.
Thank you so much, sir. Big fan of the show. Big fan of the message that you're presenting. And please come back to Genesee County soon.
Oh, we've had such a great time here. Thanks so much, Jasper. I'd love to hear your thoughts as we spend some more time here at the Flint Farmers Market in Flint, Michigan. You can follow us along at thericksmithshow.com. We're trucking on down the road. Quick break right back here. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1845. That was the day that the first Industrial Congress of the United States met in New York City. People interested in the problems facing working people, including long hours, low pay, and unsafe working conditions, gathered together. The labor movement was just beginning in this country. These were the years when the early trade unions were formed. Women played an important role in the early labor movement. Female textile mill workers in Lawrence, Massachusetts began to organize for the 10-hour day. In 1844, they established the Lowell Female Labor Reform Association. Their goal was to improve working conditions in the mills. The Lowell Women's Group sent a representative to New York for the Labor Congress. Another important development of the fledgling labor movement was the establishment of labor presses. George Henry Evans, a labor newsman, also attended the Congress. He was the editor of a series of U.S. labor papers, starting with the Workman's Advocate in 1829. He had come to the United States from England, where he had been involved in the trade labor movement. He also attended the Labor Congress. The meeting recommended the formation of three organizations. First was an industrial brotherhood for workers, including farmers. The second was an industrial sisterhood for women workers. The third was a group for friends of labor. The Congress met again in New York in 1847, then again met in Chicago in 1850. These early efforts to establish larger labor groups did not gain much traction, but they began to lay the framework for workers to come together to discuss their challenges and imagine how they could work together to bring about change for better wages, shorter hours, and safer working conditions. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Hope you've been following along on the tour, and you can do that at thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the tour, podcast, obviously, where we've been, where we're going, all of that. Here in Flint, you know, I'll tell you, talking with Jasper, his mother runs this facility, and fantastic place, but this kid's going to go places. As I said, I think this kid is going to have a really, really bright future because he gets it. He gets the fact that, we need to be investing in infrastructure. We need to be investing in manufacturing. We need to be pulling together workers and communities and people that no longer allow these divides to continue to rip us apart and define us. We need to be the ones moving forward and saying, look, we demand better opportunities. And I look at this, the organizing being done.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows of aloft around 63. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 89. Lows of aloft around 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wall Street manipulation that artificially bloats the wealth of top executives and other big shareholders. In short, P&G used the excuse of inflation to inflate the price of their diapers, then used the extra money it extracted to inflate the value of its stock to benefit rich shareholders. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, couldn't consumers just switch to Huggies, the brand sold by P&G's main competitor? No, for it's a co-monopolist, having also goosed up its prices.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So had an incredible opportunity to go and visit the Gerald Ford Presidential Library. Anybody who knows me, who's listened to this program, knows that anytime there's a presidential library nearby, I'm going to stop. I've been fortunate. I've gone and seen the Carter one, the W one, Eisenhower, Truman. We were just over the summer, we were at JFK's. And now I had the chance to spend a couple of hours at the Gerald Ford Presidential Library. And I got to tell you, I really, out of all of them, this is the one that surprised me the most. And I'm not quite sure why, but it was really well done. And even though Betsy DeVos's name is on the front of it, and we'll get into why I'm disturbed by that, I really enjoyed my time there, and I was hoping to get somebody to sit down with us last minute, you know, racing through this stuff. We will, though, in the future. But here to share some thoughts on the time we spent at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum, our good friend, the producer, the professor, Brett. How we doing, man?
We're doing great.
So, initial thoughts?
Well, actually, this was a first for me. I've never been to a presidential library before. So while I don't have anything to compare it to, you know, I was pretty impressed by what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I liked the fact that it was chronological. You walked in, it started, you know, birth, and went through and progressed, because his main, you know, the thing of his presidency was integrity. The thing of his presidency was bringing some bit of, well, not criming back to the office. So building on a childhood and building, you know, this character, this integrity, this compassion, you know, all of those things that, you know, buzzwords that politicians love to throw around, that I get that that's how they, why they did what they did and how they built this museum around those core things.
Yeah, I think that seemed that was the kind of the core concept of the place, and what they built it around was that, you know, Gerald Ford was just a kind of a model of decency, and not only a model of decency, but a model of decency at a time in our country's history when we really needed it.
Yeah, and now the thing is, you can't talk about Gerald Ford regardless of what position or what side, because I'll tell you, I'm jaded. I walked in there expecting to not like it, to critique everything, to tear everything apart. But the one thing you can say is that he made a tough choice at a tough time. He chose to pardon Richard Nixon, which they were front and center on.
Yeah, I mean, that was something a decision I believe he made very quickly.
First month.
After becoming president. And the goal was to, you know, create some kind of national healing. Now, there were also, you know, things that I learned about him that I actually didn't know. You know, for example, there wasn't just one attempt on his life. There were two. Now, both unsuccessful, of course, but I wasn't even, it was a part of history that just was never really taught, you know. And, you know, so this idea that he was there to kind of, you know, heal the nation, you know, the nation, you know, showed a lot of signs it didn't want to heal.
Well, and two women at that. I mean, that's the other part of it. And like I told you as we were looking at it, I remember Squeaky Fromm from the Manson family. I didn't remember Sarah Jane. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it's because it's, you know, she was, you know, Squeaky was part of the Manson family or what, or if history just tried to forget both women who tried this. I'm not sure, but I remember that moment.
Right. I think it might have something to do with the fact that, you know, one made an attempt but didn't get very far into it. She never was really able to, you know, to get a shot off, you know what I mean, where the other one did. You know, I guess she narrowly missed him. And so there was probably why that got a little more attention.
Well, wasn't it? I think it was Squeaky Fromm who didn't get it off, right?
I'm not, to be honest, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's how it worked. The one who got the shot off actually didn't get remembered, which I guess, again, kind of an interesting bit of time. But, you know, in talking about that, you know, the pardon of Nixon, wildly unpopular at the time. Another thing that came out that I didn't know is when he became president, and I guess it just shows what kind of a different country we were then. he had a 71% approval rating, you know, the day he took office. People were like, okay, we're going to give him a chance. We're going to do all this. When he pardons Nixon, his approval rating goes down to 50%. You could argue that if he were in it for pure politics, and there's a bunch of arguments that, you know, he was set in that position to do this specifically, and maybe he was, but he took a major hit. I don't think, and you could disagree with me, I don't think if he chooses not to pardon Nixon, makes him go through and sweat and do all that stuff, I think he gets reelected.
Oh, I think he probably
or he gets elected. Let's go.
Right. No, I think that's probably the way that works out as well. I mean, he knew the penalty for the thing that he was about to do, and you know, and he did it anyway, knowing that he was going to pay that price, which, you know, eventually he did. He was beaten by Jimmy Carter in the next election, but again, he did it anyway. And at no time that I recall did he ever express any regret over doing it. And again, this is, you know, draws some pretty, you know, significant parallels to what's going on today.
No, I mean, it was a tumultuous time in our country at the time, at the ending of the Vietnam War. The economy was horrible. During his tenure, there was a graph on the wall that showed, you know, how inflation just massively spiked during the middle of his presidency, and how, you know, by the end of it, it had come somewhat down. Unemployment had come back down as well. But, you know, the massive inflation during his presidency, and we don't really think about that in those terms of his administration.
No, we really don't. I mean, well,
when we settled Carter with that.
Yeah. Well, when he did something as monumental as pardoning Nixon, that became the thing, you know, that he was known for. He was kind of typecast for that, you know, for kind of the rest of his political career. And it kind of makes sense because it was such a monumental thing. And a lot of different presidents have a one key moment that ends up defining their presidency. And Gerald Ford's came, you know, a month in, and, you know, and there was really no recovering, or there's no changing that narrative after that happened.
No, in looking at some of the displays, and you know, we'll get pictures out and share some of the thoughts. You know, you knew he was a Republican though, because of some of the policy decisions and some of the things that he pushed for. You know, deregulation was really kind of birthed during this era, where, you know, and they even had a quote from Jimmy Carter. They're going, you know, we were all in agreement. There was almost no disagreement in policy between his administration and Carter's administration, which was weird to say.
Right. And even when you talk about some of the most partisan folks out there, it's very, you don't see anyone really say a bad word about Ford or really criticize his policies or his decisions. It's pretty much kind of almost a universal opinion that, you know, that he mostly got it right.
Now, you got to wonder, in today, you know, because they did focus on integrity. They did focus on his faith. They did focus on this personal courage. They did focus on all of these things that I don't doubt. I've never had anything but respect for Gerald Ford. Where would he come down in an era like today? You know, where would he fit in today's Republican Party?
No, I don't think there's any room for him in today's Republican Party. But there's no room for Republicans in today's Republican Party. I mean, the policies have gone so far off the deep end. I mean, we've gone from right to far right to out of this world right to, I mean, these guys are about to fall off the edge of the flat earth at some point. It's really gotten crazy. I think Gerald Ford would be right there with some of the other ex-presidents and, you know, other Republicans and long-standing Republicans who can't help but just kind of look at the ground, shake their head.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting to me, again, I come back to this moment where you think about the party, the Republican Party of old and where we are today. You know, one of the things that he had proposed back then was like a 5% surcharge, a tax on people making, you know, middle income. And they highlighted this in the displays that, you know, people wrote to him and said, hey, this is going to crush us. An additional tax on working people is going to crush us. And it was interesting to me as I was, you know, thinking about and reading through what they had displayed, that his first thought was, we're going to raise taxes on working people and not the very wealthy. That grabbed me. But the other thing is, and they didn't talk about this at all that I could find in the museum, that Ford was one of the first in modern era to give a tax rebate, to go, you know, we're going to give you a check, you know, much like we got during the pandemic. In fact, you know, he sent back $200 to people making $20,000 a year or less. And if you made, you know, $30,000 or less, you got, I think it was $100. And then, you know, obviously nothing above that. But nowhere in there did they have that displayed. And I thought that was something that should have been. Now, what did we learn from that? We learned that, you know, it didn't spur economic growth. People didn't spend it the way they intended. There was a lesson that was learned, but it did help working people because you know what they did with it? They saved it. Kind of like we saw coming out of the pandemic, which is why savings has kind of boosted as we're coming out of the pandemic.
Right. And while this, the most recent stimulus checks that were sent out during the pandemic, what we found in those is that the people did use those. They did pump them right back into the economy, mostly because they had to, because, you know, people were in pretty desperate situation during that time. But the idea that when Gerald Ford did it, that it wasn't used in the same way, that it was saved more often by people, kind of tells you a little bit about the state of affairs and the working class between then and now. There's a lot more desperation in today's economy than there was in that economy. So an economic stimulus plan that he put in place then wasn't used the same way it was used now, because, you know, people needed that money and they needed it right now, and they needed to spend it on, you know, on food, groceries, you know, gas and all these different items. So this time when we did it, you know, it worked out a little differently.
Now, you're listening to The Rick Smith Show. I'm here with Brett Pransky, the professor, my producer, my mate here on the Working Class Heroes radio tour. You can follow us along wherever we go, where we've been, where we're going. Just go to TheRickSmithShow.com. Of course, if you miss any portion of the tour, grab the podcast. Never miss an episode talking about the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum in Grand Rapids, and really a beautiful place. But I got to tell you, Brett, little offsetting. As you pull into this beautiful facility, the first thing you see is the DeVos name. And I got to know, and this was one of the things that I hope, if we get someone to come talk with us from the museum, how much it costs to get on that building. Because when we did the George W. Bush Museum and Presidential Library down in Dallas, it cost $1,000 to get on the digital registry. They wouldn't tell us how much it was to get your name etched in granite on the wall. But I got to know, you know, on the whole marquee of the DeVos name, I got to know how much went into that.
Well, I'm sure it was a substantial amount of money. I mean, if they wouldn't even tell you what it costs to get your name in the granite wall at the Bush Library, it means because they know you can't afford it.
No, of course I can't afford it. I can't afford the $1,000 for the digital one.
Right. So in the DeVos, it was the DeVos Learning Center, which I found highly, highly ironic. I think the first thing they teach you is what an oxymoron is. But you know that they must have just spent absolute boatloads of money to get that. And there was an actual DeVos Learning Center inside, which, you know, oddly enough, was
dark,
was empty and unlit, which, you know, metaphorically speaking, is about perfect. But yeah, I mean, it was a little striking to see that in big, bold blue letters outside the front of the building.
Yeah, you know what I found most interesting of the whole time there? It's just one of those weird kind of, it really grabbed my attention kind of. We were leaving, we go to the gift shop, and I wanted to buy a bobblehead doll because I collect little goofy things, and I wanted an FDR one. It turns out the Roosevelts are the most popular selling things there in the Ford Museum. They had plenty of Gerald Fords, no Roosevelts.
Right, and you know, I made a joke, and the folks that are not supposed to be partisan, that are not supposed to let out a lean, but I will say that they laughed when I said that the price of the Trump statue was that, you know, they give it to us for free and pay us $20 to take it with us.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is when they opened up the cabinet, plenty of Trump ones. And I guess, and there's part of me that goes, if you're attracted to going to see someone like Gerald Ford, to see his presidential museum, probably not a Trump supporter.
Most likely not. I mean, Gerald Ford would be labeled a rhino about a tenth of a second after he walked in the room. So, you know, I imagine this wasn't something that was real popular among the Trump supporters.
Now, we walk in and, you know, one of the first things we did see was a piece of the Berlin Wall, which, you know, you don't think about, you know, Ford being part of that. But his career, his legacy, you know, 25 years in Congress, being pulled to be the vice president, in a very, very uneasy time. He saw a lot. And, you know, he talked about his military career. I mean, this guy led an incredible life of service to this country. And whether you agree with him or not, and I don't agree with most of his policies, I do respect him.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it was a good time to go to the Gerald Ford Museum and to see kind of what common decency, especially common decency among what we would call our patriotic opposition, what it looks like. You know, and to see someone just focus on doing what he thought was best for the American people. Again, like you said, a lot of these things we would not agree with, you know, in terms of policy and things like that. But nothing in there that would give me the sense that this was someone who was hyper partisan or, you know, who put, you know, politics over what was good for the American people. He just simply tried to do what he thought he was right, what he thought was right. And, you know, while we didn't always and probably wouldn't, you know, always agree with everything that he did, no doubt of his convictions or his motivations.
Now, we walk into the place, though, and Brett almost has a heart attack because there is a giant statue of a Michigan football player because evidently he was, you know, he was a heck of a football player, got offers from the Packers and the Lions, was like good for the day.
Yeah, apparently he was a bit of a guy. You know what I mean? I hope they lost to Ohio State every year that he was at Michigan. But other than that, you know what I mean? Other than that, he's seemed like a pretty decent guy.
No, but it's a beautiful facility, and I hope people will check it out if you're ever in Grand Rapids. Well worth the couple of hours that we spent there. And would, again, it's another one of those places I'd like to go back again because we actually went through it twice. Simply because, you know, when you go through things, you catch your eye here on one thing and you might miss something else. There were tons of, you know, videos. In fact, the second time we went through, we got to see the video of his time, you know, in the Navy with the attack and all of the stories that went there that we missed the first time around.
Right. I guess there was an event on his first tour where they weren't attacked, but they were hit by a typhoon.
Typhoon, yeah.
And what had happened was it rocked the boat and, you know, some of the planes, because he served on a carrier, some of the planes snapped free of their moorings and ran into each other. There were sparks. There was a fire. You know, there were several deaths. And it actually...
Not several. In fact, you know, they said, you know, there were so many deaths from that typhoon of people drowning more than that, the Battle of Midway.
Right.
I never knew that.
No, I never knew that either. I think there were like three or four deaths on his ship, but it actually sank. I can't remember two or three other ships in the fleet, and there were something like 700-800 dead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's these are the kind of things that we should be teaching in school.
Precisely.
I was never a Gerald Ford fan, still not a huge fan, but I respect what he did. I respect the time when he was in office, and the person that he was. I don't know that we have that politic today.
No, we really don't. I mean, but again, you know, one of the things that we keep discovering over and over again on this tour is that people have an appetite for that. If we can return to that style of politics, there are people out there who will respond to it.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's just something that we need work a little harder at.
Yeah, good stuff. But again, if you're ever in Grand Rapids, stop at the Gerald Ford Museum. Well worth the time and well worth the the effort. I suggest it. Any final thoughts on the museum?
No, I think if it's going to be my first one, I think this was a great one to kick it off.
Most certainly a good one. I want to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
This is the best of the Rick Smith Show. We're taking a break during the holiday season, wishing you and yours the very best holiday ever. Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. This is the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com, as we wrap up our time in Flint. One of the things that grabs my attention, and I keep coming back to this because I think it's so important. Everyone that we've met, everyone that we've talked to, from the people who showed us around the city to the transport that got us back and forth from the hotel to the farmer's market, all the people who are so gracious with their time and shared their stories, the one thing that keeps coming back to me is that I think we all want the same things. We want to be able to lead safe lives, prosperous lives. We want good schools. We want safe neighborhoods. We want a future. We want opportunities. And again, Flint, to me, is one of those places that we're told is the worst of the worst, the bottom of the economic scale, a city in turmoil, a city in decline, all of that. And yet what we found here was, hardworking people wanting better lives, hardworking people who are looking to the future positively. And this is why I'm so excited about this moment, because what the right keeps telling us is that the country's on fire, that, everything's horrible, that is rampant crime everywhere, a violent crime, that around every corner is a boogeyman. And yet I come to a place like Flint and we're greeted with open arms. We're greeted by people who want to share their city and their experience and their hopes and their dreams and their wants, want to share the possibilities of the future. And this is why, again, I keep coming back to, in an election cycle like this, one of the things that we should be really focusing on is making sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we are moving in a good direction. Finally, there's someone in the White House who can say union without choking, that's pushing for workers to share in the prosperity of their labor, that's wanting to rebuild our country and the power that we once had as working people. The idea that we should have manufacturing, we should be reshoring and rebuilding and revitalizing our productive capacity. My mind always goes back to that bridge in New Jersey. New Jersey, Trenton makes, the world takes. We can be that country again, but more importantly, we can be the country that says, you know what, the shirt I bought or the shoes I wear or the car I drive or the TV I'm watching or the smartphone I'm spending all of my time on, that was made by my friends and neighbors. It was made by me. It was made here by us. This kind of idea of, domestic production for domestic consumption. And I think coming out of the pandemic, I think we've come to the reality that you have to produce things. And we've got a president who's moving us in that direction. I wish I could say that about the Republican Party in this moment. I wish I could say that there were somebody there who was leading this charge to say, yeah, we want to build good, strong union jobs. We want to build a prosperous economy for working people. And yet I go back to the former administration where they talked a good game, and I was with them. Man, I was on board. I wanted them to succeed in recreating that prosperous working class and reshoring manufacturing and investing in infrastructure. And they talked it constantly. That's all you heard. In fact, it was always infrastructure week, and yet got nothing done. What was their major accomplishment? Tax cuts for the rich. That's the reality. So all of the rhetoric aside, all of the verbiage aside, comes down to what you did, what you're doing. And what they did was they gave more to the people who already have more. And nothing more, nothing else. What this administration is doing, they're not out there saying how wonderful.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that.
As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE broadcast.